pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Luke's Gospel is a Gospel where the heart is central. For example, we hear that in this passage, when the shepherds had told Mary and Joseph about their child, we're told that Mary pondered all these words, and, or rather treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Later we will hear that Mary and Joseph take their child. First he's circumcised on the eighth day, but then there's the presentation in the temple. They meet Simeon. Simeon says to Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." I think other translations maybe have a sword will pierce your own heart too. Right at the end of Luke's Gospel, there are a couple of people on the way to Emmaus. They are accompanied by a stranger who eventually reveals himself in the breaking of bread. And they remark after this that didn't our hearts burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures? Also in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, when the Apostle Peter proclaimed the message of the gospel to his fellow Jews in Jerusalem and to the proselytes who had come to Jerusalem, we are told that the people were cut to the heart. So there is an emphasis in Luke and Acts on the heart as really being the focus of the work of the kingdom of God. In fact, there are various translations for this, but Jesus says, as Luke's gospel tells us, "The kingdom of God is not observed by various signs. The kingdom of God is within you." So there's the sense that the rule, the kingship which Jesus initiates in the world is a kingdom of the heart. We have some people here. We'll welcome them in if they're... We'll just take a momentary break here. Summary of what I've just said, and that is that in Luke's Gospel, welcome and Merry Christmas to you. In Luke's Gospel, there is an emphasis on the heart. Mary, on hearing the words of the shepherd, treasures those words and ponders them in her heart. Towards the end of Luke's Gospel, we hear that the two on the road to Emmaus, who are accompanied by a stranger who eventually reveals himself as Jesus in the breaking of bread, comment, "Didn't our hearts burn within us while he opened the scriptures to us?" And the Apostle Peter in Acts, or the response to the Apostle Peter speaking to his fellow Jews in Jerusalem, was that they were cut to the heart. So in Luke and Acts, there is a very strong emphasis on the heart as being really the focus of the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not to be observed by signs. The kingdom of God is within you. Sometimes translated also, in your midst. Well, this emphasis, I would say, is seen in our passage from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, not only by Mary's pondering of these things in her heart, but also by the way the whole matter is presented. If you read this passage and try to consider what were the attitudes of the early Christians to the state, you would think that they're simply good citizens. They are people who do what they are told, for the most part, and acknowledge the place of worldly power. So we hear that Emperor Augustus had this registration or taxation, enrollment, census, and Mary and Joseph came from Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to be enrolled because David was of the house and family of David. So if we read, just as I say, this passage from Luke's Gospel and much more of Luke's Gospel, we would think that all early Christians simply acknowledged the value of the earthly state and carried out their responsibilities to that end. The scene is quite different that if you compare this to, for example, the deliverance of the people of Israel from Egypt. There is a very physical sort of bondage. These people in slavery, having to work in a very onerous way to build up the store cities of the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh himself really takes a place in his own mind for God. In fact, when Moses comes to him and tells him about the Lord, Pharaoh says, well, who is the Lord that I should pay attention to him? So there's quite a different scene here when we consider Luke's Gospel. The Emperor Augustus has a certain status, but not too far, a status which provides earthly peace. But is the one who is born in the manger enrolled? Does he escape this census, or is he part of the enrollment as well? There's a sense that this worldly power has its place, but there's something else going on here which relates to the human heart, to the human beings as spiritual beings in relation to God. Now, Moses had a revelation of God in the wilderness of Sinai. He saw a burning bush that was not consumed. He was also given a sign that he would eventually, along with the Israelites, serve God on this very mountain, Mount Sinai, where, of course, the Ten Commandments were given. The sign is given to shepherds here, just shepherds without a name. They're not named, unlike Moses, who was also a shepherd in the wilderness of Sinai. These shepherds are given a message of not that God is going to deliver his people, but the Savior himself is going to be born in their midst. So unlike with Moses, we have in this unlikely location, a child born in a manger, the birth of a Savior who is Christ or Messiah, the Lord. And the angels indicate that this is glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace with those whom God favors. So peace is what this Messiah will bring. Now, Caesar brought his own peace, but the peace that Luke wants to point out to all his readers is a peace of our relationship with God, a peace that also has ramifications in our relationships with one another. It's a peace of the heart that we share with others. Now we live in a world where there are earthly powers which are anything but kind to their citizens. We think of the government of Syria, for example, and where people are or feel compelled, perhaps, to toe the line, to think in a certain way, not to disobey the worldly authority. But this Messiah has a way of awakening people's interest. This appearance of the angel to the shepherds results in the shepherds saying, well, let's go see this that has been spoken to us. So they head off to Bethlehem. So this rule of the Messiah that is already having its impact results in people's interest, imagination, minds being awakened to something that God is bringing about. We're also told that these same shepherds, after they are come to see Jesus in the manger, they proclaim, they praise God for all that they have seen and heard. So part of the result of this kingdom of the heart is that people are given a voice. No longer are we dumb, no longer are we voiceless. We are suddenly given a way to express ourselves, and we have something to express. God come into our midst in the person of Christ. So all of this really receives or reaches its climax when we hear that all who heard of these things were amazed. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The kingdom of God, which Jesus has made known, is a kingdom which calls for an inner transformation of our whole being, such, of course, in such a way that we also act out of that heart that God has given us. That transformation, as Mary would experience it, is not necessarily an easy transformation, because as Simeon indicated to her, a sword will pierce your own soul, or own heart, too. When God calls us to faith, calls us to this transformation of the heart, it can be a difficult thing. But ultimately, it's something that conforms us more fully to the nature of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we have a message of the kingdom of God, which is addressed to our very heart and calls for our transformation, such that we find interest in the world around us. We are given a voice and a manner of relating to others, which is expressive of what God has made known to us. And we even acknowledge the good offices sometimes of those in positions of authority over us, recognizing that they are not God. They have no claim ultimately on our heart, but they do their own good thing too, and we can hold them in honor. The kingdom of God is within you. Amen.